presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I operate on a couple very simple rules in life. One of those is this. If Gus Malzahn is mad, then somebody must be doing something right, because that's one of those key indicators for me of how things are going. If Gus Malzahn's not happy about it, you know, Malzahn's got one of the great pouting faces in all of the SEC. We were joking yesterday on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger about my poor listening face. I feel like I don't have a very good listening face. When I'm looking at you, sometimes it's a little too serious, a little too stern. I'm trying to work on that. Well, Gus Malzahn does not need to work on his pouting face at all. He's got that thing down. And in fact, go look at DogNation.com. When we write stories about Malzahn, we have a tendency to also choose a pretty good pouting face Gus Malzahn to go along with those stories. Well, Malzahn had the pouting face out yesterday. And I wish I was a better person. I really do, because a better person would not take quite so much joy in Malzahn's misery. Unfortunately, I'm not a good enough person to overcome that. I am going to wallow in this for a moment. As you know, you probably have heard by now, Georgia flipped five-star wide receiver George Pickens from Auburn yesterday, and Malzahn spoke about it. Now, we're going to talk to our buddy Benjamin Wolk about this a bit later on. Ben knows the Pickens story inside and out, and he's got some really interesting insight and analysis on who Pickens is as a player. For today, we're kind of on the story of how the flip happened, but pretty soon we'll turn our attention to why it is that George Pickens is such a highly rated recruit, and that's going to be a really fun conversation. But we'll ask Ben in a moment about the very nature of Gus Malzahn talking about a player that doesn't sign at Auburn. I mean, I've been in a lot of these signing day press conferences. I've watched a million of them on, you know, YouTube and all these other outlets over the years. It is pretty uncommon for a coach to address by name a player that didn't sign with him. In fact, I guess there was a chance I would have thought this might be NCAA violation. I don't care about NCAA violations like this, but I guess there's a chance that I thought it might have been one. But nonetheless, Malzahn took it head on. He was asked, "Hey, coach, I know you signed five guys or so yesterday. What about the guy you didn't get in George Pickens?" Well, here is Gus Malzahn, gloomy Gus. He's unhappy about all of this. Take a listen to Malzahn from yesterday.
You know, usually I don't comment on guys that go other places, but he was committed to us for 2 years and decided to go somewhere else. But, you know, the good thing is that we have some very young, talented receivers, so we'll be fine in that position.
How tough was that? Because back in December, you said you wanted to add a big-time receiver by signing day, and then last minute.
Yeah, and like I said, I think the good thing for us is we've got a lot of big time receivers that are young, so that's not gonna bother us.
Yeah, I guess we can tell. That's not bothering you at all. Boy, a lot has changed for Gus Malzahn since his "we beat the dog crap out of Georgia" comment in November of 2017. I would say that he may live to regret that over and over again for many years to come. And he says, you know, listen, this guy was committed to us for 2 years. Well, congratulations on that, Gus. We'll make sure we send the silver medal for George Pickens recruitment to you in the mail here very soon. Congratulations on maintaining that commitment for 2 years up until the time that the letter of intent was actually signed. And I know what he's trying to insinuate from that of, oh, look at Georgia. They just sort of swoop in at the last minute. But as Kirby Smart said yesterday on ESPNU when he went on there, this is no swoop in at the last minute deal. Georgia hosted him for his official visit. Georgia's had in-home visits with Pickens. He came to the Auburn game. He saw Auburn get whitewashed by Georgia there that day. And if you listen to Kirby yesterday on ESPNU, that was all very instrumental in the recruitment of George Pickens. And as a rebuttal to what Malzahn has to say there of, I know we said we need an elite receiver, now we didn't get one, and yet I'm going to spin this back into a direction of we're going to be just fine without him. I do think what is particularly damning for Malzahn and the Auburn cause is George Pickens' own words with why he chose UGA. WRBC, good TV station in Birmingham, was on hand with Pickens yesterday when he announced his commitment to Georgia. He did so away from Hoover High School, kind of an interesting subplot to this too. A lot of times guys don't like announcing a rival school in a high school environment like that, where obviously there are not a lot of Georgia fans at Hoover High School in Hoover, Alabama, I'm guessing. So he goes off campus to make his announcement. But listen to this reasoning that Pickens provided for why he chose Georgia. Here's one of the things that's going to sting Malzahn the most, and I would imagine Auburn fans are going to use Pickens' words here actually against Gus Malzahn. This slides him even more into a precarious position on the hot seat. Here's George Pickens.
It came down to the wire, actually. They both had good coaches, great everything. They both were actually the same in my mind. It just what separated them was the winning factor. And then they both had great quarterbacks. And then the pass that Kirby has with Nick Saban. So that kind of brought a lot out to me.
So, listen, I mean, how much do you love hearing a player like George Pickens, a five-star receiver, say, well, I could go to Auburn or I could go to Georgia and win? I mean, like, there are a lot of us who've been living for a long time in the hopes of hearing recruits use that as the reasoning for choosing Georgia over Auburn. I could go to Auburn and be at the, what was it, the Music City Bowl against Purdue they were at this year. I could go to Auburn and do that, or I could go to Georgia and actually win something of some magnitude, of some account. I could actually go to Georgia and do some of that kind of stuff. And, man, I tell you what, that's really good to hear. What else is really good to hear from George Pickens? And something else that's going to probably sting Malzahn a little bit more. Listen here to Pickens talk more about why he wanted to come to Georgia. And for those of you who've heard me for the last few days, last couple of weeks, over and over again saying, you know, Georgia's got to find a receiver who believes this is a program that can propel them to the NFL level, that can propel them to greatness at that position. This is exactly what people like us have been looking to hear. Here's Pickens again.
Georgia was a great school for me to go to, I feel, in my personal opinion, because they have everything that you kind of want. I mean, who doesn't want to win a ring? Who doesn't want to be up for freshman All-American? Who doesn't want to win a Biletnikoff? Who doesn't want to play with great players? So that's why I feel like Georgia was always good for me.
I mean, come on now. Come on, y'all. This is what we've been wanting. This is what those of us who see wide receivers, the missing piece at Georgia, have been asking for. Somebody like George Pickens, who sees himself and sees Georgia as a pathway towards the Biletnikoff Award, just like the same way that Georgia's produced a Butkus Award winner and, you know, a Jim Thorpe Award winner in the last two seasons. George Pickens says, why not me at Georgia and why not a Biletnikoff Award to go on the shelf here at UGA? That is exactly what we've been looking to hear and see from receivers, and it is so nice to hear that from George Pickens. In fact, I want to hear another Pickens clip in just a minute. Connor, can we postpone that for a second? Can we bring this to the A.J. Green discussion here for a moment? Is that okay? Because when we had A.J. Green last Friday, and so many of you reached out to me on Twitter about this yesterday when the Pickens news came down, I mean, I told you, I flat out wanted to ask A.J. Green about the wide receiver position because I felt like UGA was dealing with a bit of a branding issue when it comes to its wide receivers, guys that don't necessarily believe what George Pickens seemed to believe. I was worried about that. And A.J. Green's words match what you just heard from George Pickens with what A.J. Green, another former five-star who used George as a springboard to as much wide receiver success as you can have. He's made a gazillion dollars playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. Listen to Pickens there. Listen to A.J. Green from last Friday. It really almost serves as a prophetic statement from Green that Pickens seems to be buying into what Green was selling on our show last Friday. Here's A.J. Green.
Oh, of course, yeah. You just got to capitalize on your opportunities whenever it's called. But, you know, I feel like young kids these days, they all want to be in that five receiver offense, getting a lot of balls, getting 100 balls. But, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, if you got a great offensive line, great running backs, man, you get a lot of one-on-one out there. So I think if any receiver you want to come to Georgia, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, listen, I loved A.J. Green saying that on Friday. That's what I thought a lot of these receivers needed to hear from a former five-star grade, a guy who has gone on to NFL riches, and that's not an insignificant part of all this story. And now you see a guy like George Pickens say, you know what, sign me up for that. I want to be the first five-star receiver at this program since, what, 2009 on the recruiting trail? I want to be the next A.J. Green here at UGA. And you really, really like that from George Pickens. One more thing from Pickens, by the way. When he was speaking to the TV reporter in Birmingham, the subject of also came up of, well, when did you let Gus Malzahn know? How did you call and break up with him? And given what we just heard from Malzahn, not exactly thrilled about the Pickens news, hearing Pickens' side of this and how he let Malzahn know that he wasn't coming there, it just kind of makes it all the more fun. Here's George Pickens again.
I actually let him know yesterday. I know him personally, so it was kind of a different phone call. Me and him kind of already had talked before, so he was down on himself, but like he wasn't like, wow, man, you really going to do this stuff like that? Because I know him personally. My mom knows him personally, so it was kind of a heart-to-heart type thing.
It was a heart-to-heart thing, and he was a little bit down on himself. Like I said, I wish I wasn't enjoying that part of the story as much as I am, but I have to admit I do kind of find Malzahn's disappointment on this to be pretty enjoyable, and I'm sure many Georgia fans agree. Let me just sort of sum up the whole George Pickens story this way. A lot of y'all know I'm a Star Wars fan, and I apologize if you're not, but as Jeff Centel has noted, from time to time I do compare Georgia's recruiting efforts to that Death Star, right? That big behemoth in Star Wars, and that line from Episode 4 always kind of rings out to me. That, you know, this battle station is now fully operational. I do think the elite receiver was the missing piece for Georgia in its pursuit of a national championship. I've just seen how much elite, you know, stretching the field, blow the top off the defense receivers have impacted the sport in the college football playoff era. And assuming everything works out with Pickens between now and the start of the season, I think Georgia's got themselves one now, and I do truly believe, as I've been saying all along, that a receiver of this caliber could be the missing piece between Georgia and a national championship. It looks like Georgia's found one with George Pickens, and assuming all the off-the-field stuff gets handled the way it's supposed to be, this offense could be really fun to watch come this fall. And I do mean this fall when I say that, because I think the Pickens could be an impact player right away for Georgia. By the way, it's Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, and it's great to have you with us. No matter how you get to us on the program today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we're glad to be back on the radio today, by the way. We're also available as a podcast wherever you find them. Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, and the Android devices, the worldfamousdognation.com. It is just really great to have you here today on Dog Nation Daily. We'll have more on the George Pickens story and the saga of all of this coming up in just a moment when we bring in our buddy Benjamin Wolk, who covers Auburn recruiting as an insider and has for quite some time, working for Rivals.com now. And, you know, we had Ben on the show not all that long ago, and I joked there that time, and many of you said this yesterday, that I kind of willed the George Pickens story into existence, just keep pushing and pushing and pushing for this to happen. I joked with Ben when he was on with us last time that I was going to keep asking the same Pickens questions to somebody, Jeff, Ben, anybody else, until I finally got the answer that I was looking for, and now we kind of have. And so that's really exciting. It's not the only recruiting news to get to for Georgia. We'll deal with some of that throughout the rest of our program, including if you missed yesterday what the great former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards said about the UGA tight end signee Brett Seither. This, for me, was kind of a game-changing statement. We'll do that later on in our program. But now let's go around the doghouse, presented here today by Online Trading Academy. And Kirby Smart made an appearance on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. I did too, for what it's worth. Kirby did his ahead of mine. And there are a couple things that Kirby said on Feinbaum that I thought really are worth us paying a little extra attention to. First of all, because these two ESPN interviews, the one he did on Feinbaum, the one he did on the ESPNU show, that's all we heard from when it comes to Kirby Smart yesterday. And Kirby did address the signees, Pickens and Seither. And one of the things that he said was really important about bringing in these guys is the fact that it comes in February after the departure of, you know, Isaac Nott and McCole Hardman and Riley Ridley, these juniors who play those positions, tight end and wide receiver. The departure of those guys early for the NFL draft made the remaining spots that Georgia had on the recruiting trail, the 2019 scholarships they could still add, it made those decisions oh so important. They had to address these positions of need, and it looks like they've done just that. Here's Kirby from Feinbaum.
I'm really excited about today. We were able to add two really good football players to our program. But more important than good football players, it was needed positions. You know, we signed an early signing class, and one of the fallbacks of the early signing class is you don't know how many of your juniors are going to come out early. So we lost some offensive players to early, two wideouts, a back, and a tight end. So we were able to fill a tight end void and a wide receiver void today with our two guys we signed.
Yeah, so listen, I think that's another thing that makes this really fun. It's not just getting best players available. It's also getting real positions of need. We know tight end was that with Seither. Obviously, Pickens, in addition to being one of the top players available here in February, was also a position, not just because Georgia lost juniors, but because Georgia hasn't had that 1,000-yard type guy in really quite some time, and that's what Pickens has a chance to be. I thought that was really big. There was something else, though, that Kirby said on Feinbaum yesterday that I think we need to make sure we pay special attention to. I do think this is important. There are a lot of people that try to figure out, well, what makes Kirby Smart so good at recruiting? And the 2019 class is going to prove that once again. They'll be number two in the 24/7 Sports Composite. That's the rating that we pay the most attention to because it combines all the rating services. I believe that Rivals does have Georgia as number one, though, to those of you who want to have a little bragging rights about something. When you see these years after years of Kirby having this great recruiting success, What is it that makes this happen? And I love Kirby's answer when he was asked that by Paul Feinbaum yesterday. And Kirby explains here, there are no shortcuts. There is no easy way to do this. You've just got to roll up your sleeves and work hard to develop the kinds of bonds that lead to signatures. This is good from Kirby. You'll like this. Take a listen.
It's because we work really hard at it. I mean, we build relationships with these kids' families from day one. I mean, we're well into the 2020 and 2021 class. The entire month of January, we've spent trying to get close to 2020 kids. And I always think it's about relationships. We dedicate a lot of our time to recruiting because it's the lifeblood of your program. And we've got a tremendous program to sell. When you think about the marketability and playing on national TV games and three of the biggest last five games in college football the last 2 years, we've been in three of those games. So that's really good exposure for our program.
Yeah, don't discount any of that. Obviously, Georgia does have a big platform right now because of the television exposure it's gotten. But because Georgia does its work early, it's able to get a head start on the next recruiting cycle. How many times have you seen the helicopter flying around the last few days back when the recruiting period was still active? Those weren't 2019 kids Kirby was going to see. Those were 2020 and 2021s, laying the groundwork early for that class. And don't discount that when it comes to George Pickens. Auburn signed five yesterday, I think. Could have signed as many as eight, I believe. That's a lot of scrambling in February. That's a lot of divided attention. Georgia only signed two. Could have possibly only signed, I think, three. You know, would have had no more room for anybody else than that. That's a lot extra, a lot more attention to the couple guys that really wanted to chase down. Don't discount that as a reason why Georgia won with George Pickens yesterday. By the way, that's Around the Doghouse presented by Online Trading Academy. And Online Trading Academy provides you professional instruction on how you can make money in the markets. That's when the markets move in either direction. You want both those things. Students learn step-by-step process approach to trading and investing. The classes also cover a spectrum of trading styles, asset classes, and you've got opportunities to learn both in the classroom and online. So make the best possible decision you can. The decision to invest in yourself today. It's the best investment you can make, investing in yourself with the training and expertise necessary to make money in the market. Simply go to tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. We here at Dog Nation Daily want you to have more money in your pocket, and certainly Online Trading Academy is going to give you a chance to do that over the long haul, so make sure you check them out. All right, as I said before, we'll address Brett Seither later on, the tight end that Georgia added yesterday in the afternoon for its 2019 class. But for now, more on the George Pickens story. Let's talk to our buddy Benjamin Wolk, Auburn insider, right here on Dog Nation Daily.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Benjamin Wolk got the Dog Nation insider music. That's quite an endorsement from our buddy Connor Riley running the buttons today for Dog Nation Daily. But, Ben, whether you're a Dog Nation insider or a Rivals Auburn insider, whatever the title is, we are just glad to have you on Dog Nation Daily, especially given the subject matter you know because you've been with us before on this topic. This was one that Dog Nation Daily, both the host and the audience, really wanted, and now it has happened. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes to talk with us about it today.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon. You spoke this one into existence, didn't you?
I certainly like to think that I did, and I guess the method by which it came into existence, I am kind of curious about. From your perspective there at Auburn, from the people that you've talked to and being with Malzahn yesterday and just the interactions you've had with Pickens, if you were to tell the story of how this came to be, how would you describe it?
Yeah, well, in terms of the decision itself, I mean, I think this was something that sort of materialized over the last 72 hours or so. I mean, he took an official visit to Tennessee over the weekend after that official visit, and I think this is why it ends up being such a hurt, you know, why it hurts Gus Malzahn, and when you see him talk about it, why you can tell this one hit him harder than most do is just because on Sunday night after his official visit to Tennessee, he goes to Auburn on an unofficial visit for 6 hours and spends a lot of time at Gus Malzahn's house with him and his family, hangs out with some players and coaches. I think when he left on Sunday night, I don't want to say that he felt like he was going to sign with Auburn, but I don't think that he was seriously sold on definitely switching at that point in time. But here's the deal. Once the contact period ends, coaches are still going to recruit these guys. I think Kirby Smart has proved more than any coach in the country that he doesn't give up on these recruitments. I mean, you've seen it on ones that he's landed, and even ones like in December with Trey Sanders, even when he missed, Kirby was trying to recruit this guy until the paperwork was in. And I think that is a unique trait in Kirby Smart and why he's such an effective recruiter, is he really doesn't give up no matter what the circumstances are. And I think that in the 48, 24 hours leading up to this decision, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, Georgia came out of nowhere. That's not the case. I've been talking to George for a year and a half since he committed to Auburn in July 2017. And even when he committed to Auburn way back when, throughout the entire experience, there was pretty much never a time that George wasn't mentioning Georgia and that George wasn't mentioning Cortez Hankton and that George wasn't mentioning Kirby Smart. So this isn't something that just came totally out of the blue. With that said, I think that Auburn felt very confident on Sunday when George Pickens left, even to the point where I think even George might have thought on Sunday when he left that, you know, he's coming off this six-hour unofficial to Auburn, a place he's been committed to for so long. I think he thought that he might even sign with Auburn. But, again, these 48, 24 hours before these decisions, you're really having to make these crunch time choices. You're having to weigh the pros, weigh the cons of all these places. And I think that when it came down to it, you heard George talk about it himself, about why he made the decisions that he made. And I think that the factors in his mind all pointed to Georgia over Auburn. And so, you know, when he makes that decision, I think he kind of had an idea once he changes his ceremony on, you know, yesterday and goes from having it at his high school to having it at the Hoover Met. I think everybody at Auburn at that point sort of knew, all right, there's some red flags going on here. This probably isn't going to end well for Auburn. With that said, for the choice to end up being one of its biggest rivals, Georgia, I mean, it was a devastating blow for Auburn, who ultimately had a pretty good recruiting day outside of the George Pickens news. But the George Pickens news came at the front end of the day, so it just turned out to have this dark cloud over everything else that Auburn did throughout the day. And obviously, great addition for Georgia.
We played off the top of the program the audio from Malzahn in his press conference yesterday addressing George Pickens. I said at the time, I haven't heard that many coaches talk about a player that the program didn't sign. How unusual for you was it to hear Malzahn address Pickens by name? Now, he doesn't mention his name, but he certainly responded to a question about him and kind of went into some detail and some depth on that, including what I thought was an intentional reference to Pickens' two-year commitment to Auburn. How unusual is it in your mind to hear Malzahn speak as openly about Pickens as he chose to yesterday?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. I mean, I was joking throughout the day because we knew we were going to have this Gus Malzahn press conference in the afternoon. Like, how many George Pickens questions can we ask Gus Malzahn without him saying absolutely anything about it? And he was asked two questions back-to-back, and he said way more than I thought he was going to say. I mean, I thought he was just going to say, you know, we only talked about the guys that we signed or whatever spin he might give on it. But you could tell it hurt him. I mean, what do you expect? And I've said it, and I'm sure you'll want to talk about what I think of George Pickens as a player, but this is the best high school wide receiver I've seen at the high school level. And that is, you know, goes back multiple years that I've been covering recruiting. And there's been some other good ones, but George Pickens is a special, special player. There's not many guys out here with a skill set like George Pickens. And Auburn's known that. I mean, Auburn had him on a camp visit, you know, two summers ago, and I don't think they even knew at the time what they had when they brought him in on this camp visit. And then he plays at this camp, and you can tell immediately this is the best guy on the field, and he's not even a high school junior yet. So this is a guy that they've known about, had committed for a really long time, and then to lose him to their biggest rival on the, you know, the last day of the cycle, I mean, that hurts. I mean, there's no other way to say it other than that hurts. I know Gus will try and spin it and say, they've got other wide receivers. And look, if Auburn can afford to lose a player at a position, it probably is wide receiver.
I think we got enough from you on that. Why don't we move on and talk more in a little bit more detail about what you think of Pickens as a player? I think a lot of people were really perked up and interested when you kind of addressed just how good you think George Pickens can be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the world of George Pickens as a player. I mean, Jeff and I went back and forth on this, you know, throughout the spring and summer as well, because obviously Jaden Hazelwood was a long-time commit to Georgia. And I've been seeing George Pickens since the summer of 2017. You know, the first camp that I ever saw him at Auburn, I could tell immediately he was the best football player at that camp, and he hadn't even started his junior year yet. I've long believed that George Pickens was the best wide receiver in this 2019 class. I know that there's a lot of good ones out there, so it's hard to always pick. Like, this is the number one guy, it's the number two guy. But when it comes to just your ability to run routes, ability to catch 50-50 balls, I mean, the word you always hear around George Pickens is catch radius. I mean, he's got one of the greatest catch radiuses I've ever seen. I mean, there's really nothing that this guy can't do. The thing about George, the knock that you'll hear people say is, oh, well, he doesn't run that fast. I think he went to Auburn and he ran, like, high 4.6 or something like that. It doesn't matter. When you watch George Pickens run routes, there's nobody out there that can stop him one-on-one. So it really doesn't matter if he only runs a high 4.6 because he's such a supreme route runner. He has all the physical tools that you'd want. I mean, he's 6'5", he's got long arms, he's got incredible hands. There's no doubt in my mind that George Pickens is the best wide receiver in this class. And, you know, when I came on a couple of weeks ago and we talked about George, I sort of had a slip up and said that Georgia doesn't really have this NFL track record of wide receivers, completely leaving out A.J. Green from the conversation, which was just a mess up on my part. But I think more what I meant from that was, you haven't seen that. I mean, look, it's been since 2008 since Georgia signed a top five wide receiver. I know they got Dominic Blaylock in this class as well. But, you know, I think that George Pickens, part of what he saw is in Kirby Smart. He's been looking for this dominant number one receiver that he could find since he's gotten to Georgia. And he thought for a long time that he had that in Jaden Hazelwood, and he ends up at Oklahoma. And so I think that, and I know I've been listening to your show. I mean, I know you've touched on this as well. Kirby wanted to find this guy that he could trust. He felt like it was sort of the missing piece that Georgia needed to sort of put it over the top, create that difference. And I think that is exactly what George Pickens is. Impact player, is a true freshman. No doubt in my mind that this dude, you know, everything off the field ends up working out for him, that he's a, you know, three-year SEC starter that goes pro and is a very high NFL draft pick. I mean, I really do, as a football player, think the world of this guy.
Let me address the off-the-field part of this for a moment. What I've said on this, Ben, is that it's such a hot message board topic on virtually every message board that we really can't pretend that it doesn't exist, and yet it's not my news to break, nor do I have any news to break in this regard. I don't know what the real story is. In other words, I'm not sure how comfortable you feel in, you know, addressing what, to a certain extent, sort of a confidential issue for Pickens and his own high school grades. What can you tell us about that? And is it your assumption that Kirby wouldn't be doing this unless he felt pretty good that this was all going to work out?
Hey, you know, I don't want to touch on it too much because it's sensitive and I don't feel like I need to be piling on any more than other people do on the message boards. I think that there's some merit to the concerns out there. I think that you look at the programs that were recruiting him down the stretch, Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, Georgia, they were aware of the situation and they still all wanted this guy. I mean, there was no doubt that every single one of these programs would have taken his signature on National Signing Day. And so I think, you know, George's got some work to do and he's got, you know, time left in this semester to do that. And I think that, you know, most of these college programs will work. And look, with the way online schooling is and things like that nowadays, I think that you have many more opportunities to get your grades corrected in the allotted time that you need. And so I think that, like you mentioned, I think that Kirby Smart would not have taken this signature if he didn't have confidence that things would work out and have George Pickens on campus this fall. And I don't really want to say too much more on it than that. But yeah. I feel like there's a pretty good shot that he ends up on campus. Though you've seen it with George in the past, with Devontae Wyatt, Nadab Joseph, they've sort of done a sign-in-place deal and hope that they, you know, end up back at Georgia in the future. I don't think that's what will happen here, but again, you never really know.
I appreciate that. Ben, when the time we have left, let me deal with a couple different subjects here for a moment, and it doesn't take my audience very long, even in the first few minutes after the Pickens announcement yesterday, to start wondering what this could mean for a guy like the 2020 quarterback, Robbie Ashford. So with that in mind, let me ask you a two-part question. Does this help as much with Robbie Ashford, the high school teammate of Pickens, as much as many of us think that it might? And beyond that, is this the 2020 quarterback that I should want for Georgia? I mean, I've always kind of viewed DJ Uiagalelei as a little bit of a long shot, just given his what seems to be a lot of love for schools like Clemson and, I guess, Oregon kind of in the mix there, too. Is Ashford the guy that I ought to want as a fan, and how much does Pickens help with him?
Well, I certainly think getting Pickens, it can't hurt, and I know that when I was on a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that I thought that it would help Georgia more than it would help Auburn if Pickens were to sign with Georgia rather than if Pickens were to sign with Auburn. So I think that it helped Georgia, there's no doubt about it. But Kirby Smart is, if there's a better recruiter out there in the country, I'd like to meet him. And he knows that he needs a 2020 quarterback. I mean, with the way the quarterback room's going at Georgia, he's going to want to get as good of a football player at the quarterback position in the 2020 class as he can. You mentioned DJ. I think most people consider him to be the best one out there in this 2020 class. Does it feel like a long shot? Maybe, but nobody's recruiting better than Georgia right now. And so, you know, Clemson is in it. Oregon is in it. I think that Georgia will absolutely give a full recruitment to DJ and hope that they can land a guy of his caliber. And I think that this spring evaluation period will probably be a great time for Kirby and company to sort of figure out who they really want at that position, the three or four guys that they'll really lock in on. I mean, I know that I saw that they just offered Anthony Richardson yesterday, who recently decommitted from Florida as a quarterback in the 2020 class. So there's some guys out there. It seems to me that Kirby's clearly trying to go the dual threat route based on the quarterback that he's looking at, not to say that there won't be some pro-style guys out there that he's looking at too. But it's a really talented group in the 2020 class in terms of dual threat quarterbacks, and Robbie Ashford's one of them. But, you know, I think that if you've got Robbie Ashford, not saying that he's a backup plan because he's a really good player, but if you've got some guys that are maybe ranked a little bit higher than him that you're still trying to recruit and you feel like you can always resort back to Robbie Ashford, I mean, that's a pretty great situation to be in at quarterback.
If you haven't seen this person in person, then we'll wait and ask you about this another time. Have you seen Jacoby Criswell, which is a less recruited name, but another guy that Georgia seems to be in on? Do you know much about Criswell, and can you make a comparison with him and these other guys as of yet?
I have not seen him personally, so I really don't like to speak too much on sure. guys that I haven't seen with my own eyes. I mean, I am aware of him, and everyone that I've spoken with sees him as a really good player, and I know that Georgia is obviously in on him, and, you know, they've got an inside track on that recruitment as well. But in terms of what I've seen from him compared to other guys, I haven't been able to look at him in person, so I don't really want to give any false info on that.
That's a very fair point. Let me do one last thing before we let you go, and this is more of a curiosity. It probably doesn't matter all that much. How real was it ever with Georgia and Mark Anthony Richards, who's an Auburn signee now? And I joked on the show, he sort of always looked like an Auburn signee to me. It's the kind of player that Gus Malzahn does seem to be pretty good at using, you know, kind of a running back, kind of a wide receiver. I think one of the things that he liked about Georgia was they told him he was a running back. I was always a little suspicious of that, but I do think he's obviously a really good player. Was Georgia really heavy in on Mark Anthony Richards, or was this always going to be destined to end with Auburn?
I do think it was always going to be destined to end with Auburn. I think that Georgia certainly gave him maybe something more to think about than he thought he was going to have to think about. I think that, you know, Georgia got that last in-home visit. Del McGee was down there. If I'm not mistaken, Kirby Smart did not end up actually making that trip, which was probably a little bit of an indication of how, not that Georgia wasn't pushing because they were clearly trying to recruit this guy, but just how much they were really felt that they were going to get this guy over Auburn. I think most programs that were recruiting him knew that Auburn sort of had the inside source on this one, just because Gus Malzahn had been recruiting his older brother, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and there was a relationship with the family. And I think you're right. I mean, not everybody. I don't think that Auburn's a good landing spot for everybody necessarily, but in terms of this wide receiver, running back type of player that can be used creatively in an offense, I feel like Gus Malzahn does a pretty good job of using those type of players. So I think that it was a good fit for both sides. And obviously, once Auburn, or once Georgia, you know, you knew they needed the tight end in the class with Seether. And once they flipped George Pickens early in the day, I mean, that filled up their class and their numbers. And I think that you knew that, you know, they were done with this class after that.
Well, at the risk of keeping you too long, Ben, let me just follow up and say something about that. As a fan, and I said this on the show at the time, you know, Mark Anthony Richards gave some pretty interesting quotes to Jeff Sintel about how Georgia told him that he could be used. And I've got nothing against the young man at all. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But his description for how he was told Georgia could use him, as a fan, I'm saying, how about you give that opportunity to James Cook, someone who's already on the roster? And so that's my hope as a fan, and I know you know the Cook story well from covering as a recruit, that, I mean, that's a guy, if you're going to do that kind of what they call like the freak position, if you're going to give some of that slot receiver, running back type stuff, then my preference would be use the guy you've already got.
Well, and that was my big question, because, I mean, Sintel and I, we obviously correspond pretty regularly throughout recruitments, and that was my big thing with Georgia pushing after Mark Anthony Richards. I'm sitting here thinking, don't they have this guy already on campus? He was a 5-star last recruiting cycle. Like, shouldn't they utilize him a little bit more? And you never know what's going on behind the scenes with some of these guys and why they're trying to add new guys. And look, you always want to add the best players if you have the opportunity to. I mean, Kirby Smart's not going to shy away from recruiting the best players in the country. So if Mark Anthony Richards is out there, he's going to recruit him. But yeah, I'm right with you. It seems like James Cook, you already got him on campus. Use him.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Ben, if people want to find out more about the work that you're doing, how can we reach out to you online?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Benjamin Wolk, W-O-L-K. I won't ask you to subscribe to AuburnSports.com this time around.
Ben, it's good to have you with us. It's always fun to catch up. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Three.
I like Ben. I think he provides good stuff, really interesting information, George Pickens. And also, it really sounds like Ben is saying, and listen, this is a guy that knows the recruiting landscape very well, not just covering Auburn, but when you cover Auburn, you got to talk about every recruit. I really thought it was very interesting that Ben certainly keeps the door open that Georgia could get in on a name you're going to hear us say a lot, and I want you to listen to how beautifully I pronounce this, DJ Uiagalelei, that quarterback who we've heard a lot about with the Clemson connection, Oregon as well. Ben says, hey, if Georgia's going to pull George Pickens on February National Signing Day 2019, then don't count Georgia out on getting in a guy like that. That maybe it is Robbie Ashford, but it doesn't have to just be Ashford in terms of Georgia's, you know, pursuit of an elite quarterback. And obviously the complication on Ashford is the connection to baseball, and I think he's a real baseball prospect, so that could be an issue worth dealing with. It's kind of interesting to hear Ben on that as much as anything else, and it was also nice to have him resonate something I've said too about, you know, I want to see James Cook get the opportunity that was described for Mark Anthony Richards. And I wouldn't have been mad if Richards had signed with Georgia yesterday. I have nothing against him whatsoever. That's the top 100 player. That's generally a pretty good strategy for recruitment, is to go after top 100 players like that. But it certainly seems like the description for how he could be used was a James Cook description. And I think that Cook deserves that opportunity to Georgia, and I can't wait to see him get that. Let's do our SEC through here and deal with a few other stories around the rest of the SEC. And, you know, listen, sometimes you got to call it what it is, and I thought a couple of Georgia's rivals had a pretty good day yesterday. Let me start with Tennessee, who did add the five-star offensive tackle Darnell Wright. And this was always a weird recruitment. You know, Georgia just could not get this young man on campus. Now, my understanding is that Wright didn't take very many visits at all. That my understanding is he didn't even take that many visits to Tennessee. Now, the truth is I don't 100% know that, but I want to say that Jeff may have told us that one point in time that Wright just didn't take a lot of visits. So Tennessee kind of had a little bit of a geographic inside track. I know the new coach, is it Neil Brown, who's the new coach at West Virginia? I know he tried to make a big push on both Wright and Doug Nestor, ended up not getting either of them. Nestor, by the way, ended up going to Virginia Tech, if you want to make a note of that. But Georgia just couldn't get in on Wright. Tennessee gets him, and you got to give credit. They signed 2 5-star offensive tackles, and that's a pretty good strategy. I don't really know what the long-range plan for Tennessee is, but if it includes bookend 5-stars in the tackle positions, that's a pretty good strategy. Now, many of you know the story between Georgia and Wanya Morris. That's just not the kind of offensive lineman Georgia recruits right now. So I'm guessing that Wanya is going to have a little extra motivation when he plays against Georgia, and he probably should. It'll be very interesting to see who made the right choice there. Vols also got Henry, and I don't know how to pronounce this name. Is it Toto? Are we just saying Toto? Like, remember the planes, rains out in Africa? That's not how it's spelled. We're just going to say Toto. Pretty good outside linebacker recruit for the Vols. By the way, getting Toto for Tennessee, taking away from Alabama and Washington, the two other schools that were pursuing him, that's what allowed Georgia to get the number one ranking in the rivals. Now, listen, this is totally self-serving because we don't typically mention single recruiting service rankings. We're more of a believer in the 24/7 composite around here. But if an outlet's going to rank Georgia number one, I guess we are probably going to mention it. And so rivals did do that. Speaking of lowercase r rivals, also a pretty good day for Florida. They flipped, and I use this in air quotes, Chris Bogle from Alabama, because apparently, based on something that Jeff said on Before the Hedges yesterday, maybe this isn't as much of a flip as it looks. Bogle did only commit to Alabama in January. He cited coaching turnover as the reason for where he was going. Jeff's also kind of cited the possibility of a numbers crunch on that. The truth is, I don't know one way or another. But they do pick up a top 100 player in Bogle on the defensive side of the ball, and they got Kyra Lam from Georgia as well. I don't know if we have the Elam video to show. We probably don't even necessarily need to, but he does do a little bit of – there we go. We were on hand live at the Benjamin School yesterday. I'm going to show this once and never show it again. But he does kind of flash the Georgia hat at first before he puts on the Florida hat and does the gator chomp. And listen, I'm not going to pretend that I didn't want Kyra Lam. I did. I'm not going to tell you that Georgia didn't have room for Kyra Lam. My understanding is that it probably did. It wanted him. It recruited him down to the last minute. He chose to go to Florida, and he will presumably be happy with his choice. I do know this, though, and as I said to our video audience earlier, I can't be hypocritical. I had more fun than anybody with Quay Walker's Tennessee hat toss a year ago, so I can't be, you know, pearl-clutching and scandalized by Kyra Lam doing this. That would be unbelievably hypocritical, but here's my guess. There'll probably be a few Georgia players who remember Kyra Lam's little hat show. There'll probably be a few that remember that in Jacksonville. That's a date we have circled every day as it is, and it certainly doesn't seem like that rivalry is going to go out of style anytime soon. A couple other quick stories to get to. Alabama wins a head-to-head war with LSU for Ishmael Sopcher. This is another one of those players out of Amite High School, the same school that's produced guys like Devontae Smith and a lot of Louisiana kids that have gone to Alabama as of late. Sopcher's obviously an elite defensive lineman. That's one of those, you know, dream scenarios. Yeah, there was never really any connection between Sopcher and Georgia that I know of, but that's one of those guys, if you could have had your choice of anybody in the country, that's a name I'd love to see Georgia got in on. Alabama's been good at recruiting the state of Louisiana. What makes this interesting, though, and I read this in the Baton Rouge Advocate earlier in this week, that now you have to do some fuzzy math to kind of get to this as the scenario, but LSU was kind of selling before this. They didn't lose a single kid from Louisiana they had recruited. Now, they're going to try to say they didn't recruit Micaiah Tongue, I guess, although that's not true. And they're going to – some Alabama linebacker beyond Sopcher, the defensive lineman, they're going to have to say they didn't recruit him either. But that was what they were selling before that. This is another one of those in-state losses, though, for LSU against Alabama. A little bit easier to absorb this just given the recruiting success in-state that LSU did have. But that's a story worth getting into. Let me do rapid-fire a couple other things here. We mentioned before Auburn signed, I think, a total of five guys. Could have signed more than that. Chose to sign five. Malzahn's going to save some spots for transfers, it sounds like. One of those is Mark Anthony Richards, a top 100 player. Did we ever find out the situation with Charles Moore? What's going on with that? Is what you told me earlier true? I'm talking Connor Riley joins us here for a second.
So my understanding of it is that he essentially signed with Jones County or Jones College in Mississippi as a JUCO. It's essentially a backup plan for him in the event that he does not end up qualifying for Auburn.
So watch that. That was a big in-state or in the state of Mississippi recruiting win for Auburn to kind of add to their day. But there may be some academic stuff going on there with Charles Moore. Auburn has had a lot of success in the state of Mississippi. We talked about that yesterday, and that certainly continues there. Speaking of the state of Mississippi, let me mention a couple other things from Ole Miss. Jerrion Ealy was a really good running back who decommitted from Ole Miss, but now has circled back and rejoined that 2019 class. He signs yesterday. That's a pretty good win for the Rebels. And they also, as you know, hold on to Jonathan Mingo, the four-star wide receiver. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened with Mingo had Pickens not come to Georgia. I don't know that Georgia would have wanted him anyway. It's a very different kind of prospect than Pickens. But nonetheless, Ole Miss does pick up a pretty good pair of offensive names, and we'll make that your SEC through. And really, on the next couple of days here on Dog Nation Daily, we're going to have to do more of this. I'm fascinated by not just what Georgia did, but where all the various SEC teams land come signing day. And some of this is going to take a couple days to process. So we'll try to do some of that. Not a ton, because I know y'all mostly want to hear about Georgia, but we will need to address a little bit about some of these other SEC teams and kind of where they finish off and how that changes the calculus. You know, one of the things I also like about this time of year is post-signing day. You know, all ESPN, a lot of these outlets that do their way too early top 25s, they'll reboot these. And there may be some changes coming off of signing day. I don't think Georgia moves off of number three, which is where it is on most of these. But in terms of moving a little closer to Alabama and Clemson, I believe that the presence of George Pickens certainly helps with that. Now, Pickens was not the only name that Georgia added yesterday. The other one was a tight end, Brett Scyther. Now, the way that Scyther was covered as only a three-star prospect in a time when Georgia doesn't recruit a lot of three-stars, this is always about position of need. Georgia lost Isaac Nodda to the NFL. Luke Ford decided to transfer. Georgia needed another tight end, and that's what Scyther, for the most part, was treated as. However, when the great former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards, when I say great with Terrence, I mean not just as a former football player, which he was a very good one, but also as an analyst. I love talking football with Terrence. He just loves the game so much. When he was with us yesterday, he talked about Brett Scyther as more than just a, hey, roster spot to fill a position of need. Terrence has watched the film from Scyther closely, and he thinks that Scyther has a chance to be a really good player. I didn't want to end today's show without making you aware of this.
I just watched this film recently once we made an offering and other schools are offering, and I can tell you this, he's different than any other tight end that we have on our roster right now. He's 6'5", 235 pounds, but he moves like a small wide receiver, and that's something that in today's game that we're going to, like a Melvin Ingram and from Ole Miss that plays with the Giants. You got these tight ends now. Irv Smith from Alabama last year was one of those guys that run routes like a receiver and move like a receiver, and this guy here is definitely one of those guys I think can impact Georgia.
So listen, I mean, that's a guy that knows his position well. I mean, this is a guy that does individual coaching with Arete Gilbert. So if you want to get an idea of, you know, kind of where Edwards is in terms of his involvement in the game right now, it's that kind of stuff. Like, he's working one-on-one with Arete Gilbert on the regular basis, working closely with Jermaine Burton. These are elite 2020 recruits. If he's saying that about Brett Seither, that's more than just me spouting off. That's a pretty trusted opinion on all of that, and it's really interesting to see. And by the way, I want to make sure you're aware of this. You know, Terrence does do a lot of really good individual coaching work with pass catchers, tight ends, wide receivers, everything else. Find him on Twitter, on Instagram. Reach out to him and find him on social media if you think that your son would benefit from that, because I really think that Terrence is a great coach. He's worked with a lot of current Georgia players. He's working right now with some future Georgia players. He works as an individual coach with a lot of NFL guys, too. Terrence is just a great lover of football and coach of the sport, so reach out to Terrence Edwards. And by the way, speaking of Florida, the Kyrie Lam win, let's remind them, 831 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. That's a good number, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.